Cosmic Shed. Hello and welcome to the Cosmic Shed. It's just me, Andrew, in the shed today, and I've just spoken to Charlotte Hatherley. I'm going to bring you that conversation shortly. You'll find that Charlotte is a fascinating person with a real love and appreciation of science fiction. Some of you may know Charlotte from her career as the guitarist and one of the songwriters in the band Ash, of course a band synonymous with science fiction, with all those references to Star Wars in that debut album, 1977, The Girl from Mars and all that. Charlotte's solo career has seen her tour with Brian Ferry as a guitarist and Katie Tunstall and Bat for Lashes. There's the solo work Silvertongue, and of course she provided the soundtrack to the Gavin Rothery science fiction short film The Last Man. Charlotte's new album, True Love, is classic sci-fi. A broken-hearted protagonist wanders a distant planet in search of love.
Give me a sign, show me the way.
Now, Charlotte Hatherley is performing at the forthcoming Space Rocks event in London, which is being organised by the European Space Agency. It's a combination of science and music and science fiction. There's going to be talks, there's Tim Peake's going to be there, previous Cosmic Shed guest Dr. Beth Healy and Dallas Campbell will be there, and science fiction author Alistair Reynolds, the author of Revelation Space and former European Space Agency scientist. And of course, Professor Mark McCorcoran, who appeared on the Cosmic Shed episode about those wonderful science fiction shorts that the European Space Agency released for the Rosetta mission. Mark is the European Space Agency's senior advisor for science and exploration. And it was Mark who put me in touch with Charlotte and suggested that we have this conversation before we head to the Space Rocks event at the O2 Arena in just over a month's time on Sunday, April the 22nd. Now, Charlotte joined us for this episode of The Cosmic Shed via Skype from a cafe. So excuse some of the background noises and the strange effects that the internet brings to our voices from time to time. And I began by asking her about that new album.
Yeah, so my record is called True Love, and it was written in the aftermath of a horrible breakup. So the songs are very personal, and the kind of songs that I haven't really written before. I think I've written about ideas and concepts and things, but in terms of being very honest in my lyrics, it was a new thing for me, and I think I wanted to maybe give myself some protection, and the idea of being a character made it easier for me to be more expressive and communicate how sad I was feeling. And it coincided, I mean, I hadn't really done a solo album for many years. It had been about 5 years, I think. So I felt like enough time had passed for me to be able to come back with a new sound, which kind of came about from touring with various other bands. So I think Bat for Lashes especially, I was touring with Bat for Lashes, and the way that Natasha uses electronics with her sort of weird, magical, very live, old instruments. And the way that she is so visual with her stage setup, I sort of took those ideas and came up with the idea of doing, releasing the song, the EP under a different name. It was not the Silvertongue name. And the idea behind Silvertongue was very 80s sci-fi, Mad Max inspired, very dressy. And so I released that EP, and then all sorts of stuff happened after releasing that. So I split with my manager, and then I got asked to do a short film with Gavin Rothery, and several other things because it took me off that path. And so by the time it came around again to release the record, I kind of went back to Charlotte Hatherley rather than doing it as the Silver Tongue thing. And the whole outlandish Mad Max leathers and fake fur sort of got stripped down a bit. When I say a bit, the first video was me as an out-and-out alien.
Yes, so, yeah.
I guess it became, my influences are very science fiction, but, and I guess I just thought, fuck it, I'll do something very cinematic with it. So the whole album artwork and the videos and the references are quite cinematic. And it was just allowed me to sort of indulge myself in the films that I love. Whereas I think that maybe towards the end of the project, it became less 80s and more sort of Tarkovsky sci-fi realism, The Man Who Fell to Earth. So it's kind of like a relatable kind of science fiction, not so fantasy.
Okay. So is it, does that kind of translate to the music? When you say towards the end of the project it became that, did you then translate that across the work, or is it there's particular pieces that sound like different things?
We're doing Gav's short film in the middle of it, sort of interrupted the flow of the music I was writing at that time. And when I got back to the record, I had so many offcuts, lots of instrumental music that hadn't been used. So I decided to incorporate that into the record. And I think those, I wouldn't really say it was electronic. I think those influences are much more Heroes and Low, those kind of electronics, quite wonky sounding synths, sort of 70s horror film, Don Carpenter. So when you listen back to that music, this timing's really slippery rather than everything being modern and on a grid. So those were my influences, really.
Your knowledge of science fiction is impressive, okay? Has it always been there for you?
Yeah, I mean, my dad is a huge influence on me. I mean, he's a writer, and he was a member of the Philip K. Dick fan club when I was growing up. So he had all these fanzines, and he had all the Philip K. Dick books. And he was also Brian Aldiss's agent, so we were quite friendly with Brian Aldiss and had all of Brian's books. So that was quite an early science fiction sort of influence. So my in was really through literature, wasn't really through film. So when I joined Ash, they were like massive Star Wars fans. That wasn't really, I was never really into that side of things, not until much later. It wasn't until later that I was more drawn towards Blade Runner and The Thing and Alien, rather than the Star Treks and the Star Wars. But I would say it all came from Philip K. Dick, and the front covers and the art of those books are so like weird and surrealist and strange, and that really had a big effect on me when I was growing up.
Yeah.
The film posters of those 70s films like Solaris and The Man Who Fell to Earth, and that imagery makes me feel like the kind of book covers that I was reading when I was young. The colours and the feel of it all, which is kind of why I like there's something about that era that really appeals to me, which is why maybe a film like Moon was a bit of a throwback to that. So, and even like new sci-fi, like Arrival, and the way that the artwork and the film posters are a bit of an ode to those 70s films. I love stuff like that.
Awesome. Have you seen Blade Runner 2049?
Yes.
Go on.
Yeah. I liked it. I mean, I didn't get much of an emotional response to it. The sci-fi that I really love is all about human relationships and you know, concepts and ideas that are putting humans in awkward, difficult situations that they have to navigate their way out of. And there's something about I mean, there's a lot of modern sci-fi that I really love. Like in a film like Interstellar, just really makes me cry. It really moves me. Whereas when I watch Blade, Blade Runner, there are elements of Blade Runner that made me think of the Spike Jonze film Her, which, and I love that film, and that, I think that film really evoked those feelings of what it would be like to be really lonely in this kind of future time, and the isolation, which the original Blade Runner, you really feel that. It's like these people are all melancholy, lonely, fucked up people. And I could see that the Ryan Gosling character was, you know, that there are elements of him having his electronic girlfriend that was very similar to Her. Yeah, but I just didn't really care about it.
Okay.
And it looked really beautiful, but I felt, I don't know, it didn't touch me. I mean, when I saw Arrival, I cried my eyes out. I thought it was really beautiful, that twist at the end. But there was something a bit cold about Blade Runner. But it looks, you know, it looked fucking gorgeous. Because even Mad Max, actually, the latest Mad Max, I just thought it was unbelievable. And it really moves me. And yeah, you know, I just want to be touched by sci-fi. I mean, as much as I love Guardians of the Galaxy and that sort of stuff,
yeah.
I think I just want to, you know, I love a good cry.
Yeah.
I was denied a cry from Blade Runner.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. I'll give you that. Contact. You didn't mention Contact in any of that.
Oh yeah, I love Contact.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. That's
right. I love Contact. Contact is oh my god. Yeah, that really makes me cry. Anything to do with dads. In general,
yeah.
Makes me cry. Contact's an amazing film.
Yeah.
There's so many, there's so much sci-fi out there that, and I guess, like, even I got into it through books. Film is where I really, really grabbed me, sci-fi film has sort of become, I mean, I don't really listen to music that much anymore. What I really like is watching film. I mean, I just want new, updated ideas.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Okay, cool. Listen, let's talk about your work. So, True Love, is it individual songs? Is there a story going through it? What's
individual songs? I think there's a recurring theme of taking yourself away. So the whole idea is that in the midst of heartbreak and feeling terrible, I was really interested in and the idea of this retreating or isolating yourself. So there were a couple of films that I watched. One was Wild. Then the other one was Tracks. Both about women going on these like solitary journeys. In fact, The Sign was really written after watching Wild and then reading the book that it's based on. And this idea of having to be in complete silence to really hear... really listen to how you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big part of my life is that I travel and I tour and I'm surrounded by people a lot of the time and I felt off writing the record like I really just needed to take time alone and be on my own and be single and really try to figure out what was going wrong. So I suppose the theme of it is an exploration. And a lot of the imagery is being in the desert and running away. Not so much running away, more like taking control of the situation by removing yourself from a painful situation and trying to find answers, really. And I suppose I was at an age, I mean, I'm 38 now, but I think when I was writing, it was 35. And, you know, that sort of time of your life where you're like, when you see recurring patterns... at a certain age you think, well, I've got to do something about this because before it's, you know, too late. So really it was a form of self-therapy, really. And I guess like the idea of the lonely alien, I mean, the idea is that the character is on a personal journey and is traveling the universe. I mean, that's like an extreme exile to try and find true love, this idea of true love. And the title, I mean, this is sort of my take on true love, which at the time, I've kind of changed my mind now, but at the time I was like, maybe true love is just shit and horrible, and true love is painful and nasty. It's a nasty business. So it's not true love in a flowers and chocolates. It's true love as in this shit is hard and trying to figure out why it's so hard.
Okay. The video is awesome, right?
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, so I worked with Gavin Rothery on his short film called The Last Man. So Gavin was co-creator of Moon, and well, he was like the concept artist, and he worked with Duncan very closely on the film. We got introduced through a friend, and he asked me to do the music to his film, which was really an amazing experience for me. It was the first time I'd ever done anything like that, and I guess to return the favor, he directed the video for me. And so we'd already had this like friendship cemented by sci-fi fandom. And so it was a very, really simple idea, actually. We just went to this beach at pet level. There's only four of us. And between Gavin and the makeup girl, Natasha Laws, they created she made the helmet. And Gavin had constructed elements of the space kind of spacesuit, and walked along the beach. Got up. All I had to do really was get up for sunrise. So we got this incredible sunrise. Walked along the beach, and then Gav added the sort of futuristic skyline and horizon in post. But he does. He can do all this amazing stuff at home. And yeah, I guess there's a film. Oh God, I keep forgetting name of this film. Someone asked me the other day. I will find it for you. But it's an American film about the end of the world. And at the end of the film, this guy wakes up in a different dimension, and you can tell it's a different universe that he's in, because the skyline is this massive ringed planet. But it's just on the beach, and it's like the ocean. So, and there was another film on the Silver Globe, the Zulawski film, of like spacemen landing on a watery Earth. So I wanted it to be like a Earth-like place, but then have these sort of surrealist elements in it.
Yeah, it's cool. All right. So okay, you've had a very difficult breakup, and out of it you've made this album, but also you've made a mini science fiction film, right? That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. Can't complain about that. You got to use the shit, turn it into something beautiful.
yeah, absolutely. And speaking of beautiful, you've done a cover of How Deep Is Your Love, and the video features imagery from the European Space Agency, and starts with a quote from Carl Sagan. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So you've got science fiction, you've got music. I take it you're a science nerd as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, I do my best. I don't know if it's funny because I basically met Mark. I don't know how to pronounce the surname. McGraw. I'm gonna go for that.
Okay.
Through Twitter, actually, because I put the Assigned video up on social media, and he got in touch. But I get this message from the senior advisor of the European Space Agency saying, "Do you want to do some collaborations?" I'm like, "Fuck yes!" I was like, "That's exactly what I wanted." And he travels a lot doing these really cool presentations for the ESA. So he came to London and we met up, and he's very, very good at connecting people. And through Mark, I met Alexander Milos, who's putting the Space Rocks Festival together. So in fact, that was probably the first, you know, that first meeting to really talk about this. Alex was there, which has turned into Space Rocks. But, you know, you end up talking about all this stuff with Mark, and he's such a brainiac. I can't really keep up with him at all. So as much as I mean, I read a lot of New Science books, and even like the Philip K. Dick books that I was reading, you know, in the 1950s, that's when all these ideas, quantum physics and quantum mechanics, and they're not particularly new ideas. That's what they were writing about, and other dimensions, and that was stuff that was happening at that time. And those are the ideas that you see in films like Interstellar, and well, that's the stuff that I love. And then you talk to someone like Mark, and he's like, that's his life. I mean, he knows all this shit. It just blows you away. It's just amazing to actually listen to someone like that. And they'd be so generous with me. And the presentation I saw Mark do, I saw the star video. It was only like 10 seconds long. And I said, oh, that's really beautiful. And he said, well, we'll make one for you. So they made the video that I saw. It was like Orion constellation. What they would look like in billions of years time. So they stretched it out to 6 minutes long, which is the length of how deep is your love. So it's over 3 million years. And then that was the basis of the video. And then there's lots of free videos that you can just download from the European Space Agency website. And Mark sent me the links to lots of high res ones. And I just used that for the video. And it was kind of incredibly cheap video to make, and it's my favorite video.
Yeah.
Awesome. I just love it.
Yeah.
It's so cool. So they've been incredibly generous, and I think the whole initiative to bring culture and science and music together is really exciting.
Yeah, no, it totally is. And you got, so it's wonderful to hear from Mark McCorkran, I believe. I saw
McCorkran. Okay.
He did a presentation that I went to. And he did, the first slide was a cork running, and he said, "My cork run," and that's how we.
Okay.
My cork run.
Okay. He hasn't done that on me. Okay. So now I know. So
it's wonderful to hear him talk, and you can hear him talk, and hear you play your music at the Space Rocks event in London.
Yeah.
You're excited about that, right?
Yeah, I mean, not only is it, I mean, it's my first gig in years, and it's the first gig I'll be doing for this record. So that's exciting enough, and the fact that it's at this insane event, and Tim Peake will be there, and all these incredible people, is really amazing. I feel so, I'm so thrilled.
Yeah, well, I'm excited. We're going to be there. That's why we're talking, right? Because Mark hooked us up and said, "Right, you talk," and that's it.
So he's an amazing connector.
Yeah, awesome stuff. I'll let you go quite soon. I do have a couple of questions. Katie Tunstall, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I love her music. Yeah.
Cool.
And is it fun touring with her?
Katie is a laugh. She's so fun. She's a Scottish whiskey drinking lass. She's wicked, and in fact she's got a new record coming out that I've played on, and it's, she keeps releasing better records. I don't know how she does it. Each record she releases, she does it so quick as well. And it's very inspiring, Katie's trajectory, because she had that, obviously, like a really successful massive record, and I think like a lot of people experience the record industry, you know, she got in there before the record industry kind of imploded. And so she's become an independent artist, and she pays for her own records, she pays for her own touring, and she's just making quality music. And I find it really inspiring that she's... And, you know, we're sort of the same age. She's a little bit older than me, but she's... You know, I love working with women the same age as me. I mean, I find myself in the strange position of becoming the oldest person in the band, which is most unnerving. I've always been the youngest, and then at a certain point that starts to tilt. And the other woman that I worked with a lot is Natasha Khan with Backflashes, so who's the same age as me. So I was working with Natasha and then with Katie, which was so nice after years and years of just working with boys. Katie's, she's great. She's great fun. And her new record is brilliant. You'll love it.
Cool. And speaking of boys, Brian Ferry.
Yes, Brian. Yeah, that was weird. This is a strange time of my life where I'd left Ash and I was doing solo stuff, but I was sort of in a bit of a weird place, really. Didn't really know what I was doing or where I was going, and the band that I'd been in for 8 years was no longer, you know, there. From the age of 18, I was with them, and then I get to 26, 27, and everything changed. So I did a solo record and sort of wasn't really making any money, and I was feeling quite sort of disillusioned. And then I get this voicemail on my mobile phone saying, "Hi, this is Brian Ferry's PA. He'd like to see if you're available to go to Kazakhstan with him for a corporate event." And so I call back and I'm like, "Yes, I definitely like to go to Kazakhstan with Brian Ferry." And I sort of auditioned, but I sort of went and met him in his studio and sort of auditioned for it. And then I spent a year doing gigs with Brian. Pretty much every weekend we got on a private jet and played all these random events.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
Yeah.
And often did other stuff. And I occasionally bump into him and the other guys in the band. Yeah. And he was lovely. I mean, he's not very communicative, Brian. He's very difficult to make eye contact with. And I think I was a little bit, you know, you can't help it be in awe. It's like fucking Brian Ferry. So I found it hard to sort of talk to him. And so I didn't have like a huge connection with Brian, but just to be around him and play those songs. I was playing Virginia Plain and Love Is the Drug and all these like classics.
Yeah.
Avalon. So it was really incredible. And we did one gig in Monaco. We were playing Jealous Guy, his cover of Jealous Guy, and then in the front row was Julian Lennon.
Oh.
And I was like, this is fucking weird. The whole thing was so surreal. It was so much fun. I've done a lot of very strange collaborations in my time. And that was one of the strangest.
I should write
all this down because my memory is so fucking awful. I can't remember anything. And I did an interview earlier today, and the guy was like, "Oh, I was with you and Ash in Amsterdam. Do you remember we did this?" And I was like, "I do not remember anything." But it's funny. You're right. You, especially these days, everyone has to diversify. So I'm doing so much different stuff. Like the solo thing is just one part of many things that I do. I wish that I had more time to spend on it, really. I wish that I could do more solo gigs, but I'm playing with so many other people. I'm working on lots of different projects that I find it difficult to balance it all out. Which is another reason why the space rock thing is so exciting, because I haven't been able to play my record live, really. I've been on tour with so many different people. So this is really an opportunity for me to be like, right, this is my record and this is how I want to present it live, you know. But I really can't wait.
So you're going to be doing visuals and stuff at the event?
I'm definitely going to use a lot of the ESA footage. I'm going to have projections, and I'm going to have footage from the video with Gavin Rothery, so I'll be using a lot of that stuff. And I'm going to try and get some new ESA collaborative stuff going as well, because as it's an ESA festival, it's a perfect excuse for me to be like, come on then.
Yeah.
Give me a lot of your cool stuff. And that's, actually, Mark was saying there's a lot of Rosetta Mission images and footage, and I was like, give me, it's so cool.
Yeah.
So cool to have access to that.
Yeah. Rosetta was amazing. I mean, astonishing.
Incredible.
I'm coming to Space Rocks. Me and Steve from the Cosmic Shed, we're going to come to Space Rocks. I really want to see your thing. And yeah, Matt Taylor's going to be there, from the chief scientist, lead scientist of Rosetta. So I'm gonna try and get him to talk to me about that amazing mission that they did. And
You should. Yeah. You must.
Yes, totally. And Beth Healy's there. Beth is wonderful. She's done some incredible research down in Antarctica about extreme environments, survival stuff. For she's a doctor, and she for ESA right. as well, amazing stuff. So yeah, you're going to be listening to all the talks as well, I guess.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Definitely.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Listen, thank you so much.
So cool.
Thank you so much for talking to me.
Absolute pleasure.
And I'll see you there, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. Brilliant. I can't wait.
Yeah.
All right.
Best of luck with it.
All right. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that. And thank you so much again to Charlotte for talking to me. I'm sure we'll see some of you at the Space Rocks event. I believe there are some tickets left, and you can get them and find out more about it at spacerocksofficial.com. And thank you so much to Mark McCorkran for putting me in touch with Charlotte. And hopefully we'll grab a conversation with you at Space Rocks as well. Matt Taylor, if you're listening, send us a tweet at The Cosmic Shed and we'll come and have a chat with you at Space Rocks. And thank you so much for listening. The Cosmic Shed.
Science fact.
Science fiction.
And everything in between.
You know what I'm watching tonight?
Yeah.
Tonight I've got a date night with Annihilation, so that's on Netflix, which is the new Alex Garland film. It's supposed to be incredible.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I'm stuck in Homeland at the moment, so I'm gonna be home.
Okay.
Homelanding. Anyway, sorry, I will go back to this. So.